The Florida Horse Podcast is presented by the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association.
Welcome to the Florida Horse Podcast, brought to you by the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. I'm Tammy Gant, and I'm joined today by Colin Brennan. But before we get started, I'd like to highlight the National Economic Impact Study that is in email boxes everywhere and online everywhere. Please take a moment to complete that survey that helps determine how we as an industry are successful here in Florida. That's for any equine person in Florida, any equine supplier, any equine owner, and anybody that touches the industry as a whole, and specifically also Marion County.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes. And so I've gotten to know you a little bit through some committees that involve the equine industry, but do you want to tell the folks that might not know you a little bit about your history? I mean, I think you said, I fell in love with the horse industry by osmosis.
I did.
You were very fortunate because my parents were missionaries and I wasn't in the horse industry, but I loved equines. So I'm my first generation, but I know you're not. So tell us a little bit about that.
No, fortunately, it is in my pedigree.
Pedigree, appropriate word.
We're 100% runners. Both of my parents, my sister, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, grandparents were all in the industry in some regard. And I've just, like you said, by osmosis, just fell in love with it. My sister and I were riding when we were younger, of course, growing up in the barn, helping out our parents. My mother had a large breeding operation. My father, obviously, a two-year-old pin hooker. We both went, my sister and I, she did show jumping, I did rodeo. We naturally worked in the barn, grew up around
it. Yeah, I heard it was like your shed row chores. In order to have the other things you wanted to do to fund them, you had to do the shed row chores.
Exactly. That was it. You had to pay the keep for your ponies at the farm. We had to be at the barn, and thank God we did. We were able to work in to our positions now from the ground up by doing that. And aside from growing up in the industry, then when I was 13, I remember telling Dad I wanted to do this for a living. So we decided we were going to target building my resume as best as possible so that...
Which is really impressive. I mean, you were targeted, and I think he even told you, hey, it's going to be really hard work and you're going to learn it from the ground up.
Absolutely. And it was. And fortunately, I was able to work in several different capacities for some very good horsemen and women and different programs throughout the industry.
So when you did that map, you're talking about a few things. What are some of the things? So it was working with industry leaders. And then what were some of the other things you had on that goal sheet to tackle?
I wanted to learn a little bit about everything. I had always thought that I was going to take the training route, particularly the two-year-old in training. I was fortunate to spend a few seasons on the racetrack with Linda Rice and Bill Mott and Darley, and enjoyed doing that and learned a lot from them. Spent some time working with sales companies and with bloodstock agents and breeding farms, and got a little bit of a taste of everything, what I liked and what I didn't like. And in doing so, that also built my resume for the Flying Start program, which is a two-year equine industry professional program sponsored by Sheikh Mohammed, and was able to do that for 2 years, graduated from that.
And what countries did you go to?
So we started in Ireland, went to England, then the US, Australia, Dubai, spent a bit of time visiting France and New Zealand. And of course, everything was all about horses, but we covered everything from anatomy to law to various sciences and accounting, website design, anything and everything that you could imagine that's required in the industry.
Yeah, what an opportunity. And then from there, you became a traveling trainer for Stone Street?
Correct. I spent a few years with Stone Street with my uncle Ian Brennan. Of course, they are next level. Barbara Banky, the whole farm, the team, they're just outstanding people. Of course, some of the best bred horses and pedigrees around. That was a tremendous experience. And after that, there was a position, what I call my dream position, came available at my dad's. So I was able to rejoin him for 5 years doing the two-year-old pin hooking and pre-training. Finally, I started a yearling consignment while with him.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And fortunately, we were blessed. The consignment was successful and we continued to grow and I was able to go out on my own.
So that's been about 4 years. Yeah, about four years of that. So I hear two things in you. One is that family was really important because your dream job actually was working with your father, who is a leader in the industry, and your uncle and many others are leaders in the industry that you named. But I also, every time you speak, you have like a sense of awe, like that you, like it's amazing that you got to have these experiences and that you had these goals, and then just achieving them means a lot to you.
Oh, absolutely. It does. And I mean, still to this day, the people that we interact with at the sales are, I was very fortunate to have Mike Ryan as another mentor. And of course, being able to work closely with some of his clients, and which are horsemen and owners that I highly admire. And again, being at the sales and at the races, it, you still have to pinch yourself at times, because as a kid growing up in this industry, these are people that I would dream of being able to shake hands with and have a professional conversation with.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I feel the same way when I go to the track. I'm just as big of a fan, even when I was working at the track, when certain people would show up on big days, you'd be like, wow, this person's here. And it just gives you the opportunity to meet with people that are leaders in our industry and make connection. So take me a little bit of what so far you feel like your biggest success has been, and what your, I guess, your next goal is. What would be the next success you think for you?
So we've been fortunate.
Besides having a little one and having a family, I know that's right. That's number one.
That's number one. My two-year-old son and I, we are expecting another during the November sale. So
congratulations.
That is the highlight of my life. But aside from that, we've been very fortunate throughout the career, but in particular working with Stone Street and with Dad, to have worked with top caliber horses, between Kentucky Derby winners, Breeders' Cups winners, all sorts of Grade One winners.
Anyone stand out? It was favorite because of their personality, or?
I'd have to say probably, but it's a tie between Search Results and Palace Malice.
Okay.
Just again, personality wise, those two, Essential Quality being a close second, but just the types of horses that you can really click with. But we've been, I could have a whole nother podcast on just speaking of those, of the Grade One and stakes caliber horses that we've had. And in addition to that, the stakes quality of people that we've been able to meet and work with. And the goal would be to continue to grow those relationships and meet newer clients and hopefully bring people into the game and hopefully continue to grow as a yearling consigner as well.
Yeah. What are some of your thoughts now that you have traveled worldwide? Some thoughts you have on maybe how you would bring the next generation in? Because you were fortunate you had a family that was there to guide you and help you, even though I don't know if it necessarily becomes easier. You still have to do the work. But how would you like encourage the next generation, or any ideas you've seen maybe at other countries that seem to be working?
Well, that's actually something that I quite enjoy doing, taking in the layperson and bringing them to the farm, showing them the horses, showing there is a lot more to taking care of them and the science that goes into our care. I'm really science-based. I enjoy nutrition and proper anatomy and physiology, and showing that there's that next level of degree to horse care and the way that we raise them, explaining that to people. And I think once they're hands-on and they get to learn the ins and outs of it, that alone is intriguing for them. Never mind the racing and the potential for successful pinhooks and such, but there's always an intrigue for that. I think sharing the excitement, because as we all know, there's nothing better than having a horse you bet on, or a horse you own, or bred, or pinhooked, watching them run down the stretch with a live shot or something. It gets your heart racing like no other. It's a joy that's indescribable.
Yeah, it's like your proud moment, like you're a proud family member. You know, there's someone, absolutely, a horse that you had a connection with. You know, and you mentioned there's the science-based part of horsemanship, and there's the art of horsemanship, you know, where there are some certain methods folks that use tried and true. And then also, I believe there's that other side of your brain, which is that excitement part. So there's a little bit for everyone. So a person that's very analytical can really fall in love with the horse industry. I think a person that's creative, that just likes the beauty and motion of the horse, has a way to fall in love with them. And then I think the excitement side of it, for sure.
Absolutely.
It's a little bit for everyone.
Right. And touching on all that, especially when you're in front of a large new audience, I think you're able to touch on most personality types and have a bit of intrigue or appeal to most people.
Yeah. And so now that you're based here in Central Florida, which is horse capital of the world, and what do you think some advantages are for you all to have your, I mean, you're all over the country, obviously, in the world with the horse sales, but what do you think are some natural advantages for being in this area?
Well, I'm a Florida bred myself, so
I love it. He's stakes winner, pedigree, Florida bred. I'm sorry, I'm a Missouri bred. I got to hear that a lot at the track. You're like, oh, you're Missouri bred, but I love it that you use all the terminology because it's just a grain. It's just a part of the life. So
right, and it, like you said, it is a lifestyle, and especially being able to share that closely with your family. But I think being a Florida bred, I'm a huge proponent. I love to joke around with my friends in Lexington and elsewhere with the horse capital argument. But in all reality, we do have a great area for raising horses, in particular some other parts of the county. I think we do have a very solid group of top class vets and blacksmiths and everything that you could ask for, really. I mean, between OBS is leading 2-year-old consigning sales company, and I enjoy selling yearlings here. So we have all the amenities that we could ask for. It is quite easy. We're centrally located to a lot of things, being in Ocala, that is. So we have access to about all that we could ask for. And yeah. I'm quite happy with the team that we have put together. And I mean, I'm sure each to their own, but this is always going to be home for me.
Yeah, and the team's important because, like you said, there's world-class horsemen here. There's world-class veterinarians, facilities, feed companies, and then to have the worldwide, 2-year-old sales here along with that yearling sale at Ocala Breeder Sales, that, 44 countries have come here, and almost every state except Alaska has bought a horse from here. So it's significant. It's really significant. Right. And that's good for you as a person that's bringing the horses into the sales, because OBS works for all different levels of the horse game to make sure that those bids get on those horses and those horses, go to the next person that can be successful. And and Ocala is one of the few places you can do the pin hooking.
Right.
And so for those of us, those are listening that are maybe really layman, how would you explain what pin hooking is?
So it's essentially buying and reselling horses. Hopefully you can provide some improvement to them in that duration that you have them, whether it be for my main focus now of weanlings to yearlings, and we have them for approximately 10 to 12 months before we resell them, or which Ocala is known for, the yearling to 2-year-old market. And of course you can have your touch to prepping them, to training them. And as you all mentioned in Todd Wojciechowski's podcast, you're investing in the horsemen that are here as well. And to your point, we do have plenty of world-class horsemen that are making sure it's their name on the line, and they want to do their very best to, as we all do, to raise the very best horse and have them go represent us and have a successful career.
Yeah, it's horsemen creating value right. for the horse to move on to the next thing. And it's a great opportunity. So many people can enjoy that horse. So when a horse goes to the races and wins, or a horse goes to the breeding shed, a lot of people got them there, from the person that foaled the horse all the way through. So it's pretty significant. We only have a couple more minutes left. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the advisory role at College of Central Florida, where you graduated. A number of students have gone through your program, work in the equine industry, not specifically thoroughbred, but all over the industry. And so as your advisory role, what are something that you think is important for those programs to know about how the industry works with graduates?
Well, the program was very beneficial to me. I learned a lot from it. Now that Marie Davidson has taken over, at the time it was Dr. Judy Downer, and I think they've both done a very good job building that curriculum. I learned a lot from it. I'm really glad to see that, to your point, that people are able to come out of there and take a job in any aspect of the industry. It's not necessarily horse handling, but the program prepares you for just about anything. I'm privileged to be one of the members for the advisory board, and what I'm trying to get out of it is to offer my help as best as possible to open doors for any of the current students and better the program to hopefully make the future of it even better, so that people can get more out of it, if
yeah.
that answers yeah. your question.
Yeah,
at all.
Yeah, I think it okay. does. And so before we got started today, you mentioned something and it made me just smile because we knew that our podcast on our first year had 500,000 viewers. And I did not realize that you were one of those, or I guess listeners, if you will, because you can listen or view the podcast. And so tell us people a little bit about what how you listen to the podcast. I think you were saying in the shed row with the headphones on and but that's just a way how you absorb information. And so I just appreciate you being a listener, I guess.
Oh, I love listening to your podcast. Of course, there's several others out there in the industry, but I'm still a very hands-on person. So it's easy for me to turn on the speaker of my phone or pop in an ear pod when we're prepping babies or ponying or anything. And just, I'm fortunate I'm able to absorb things quite well as I listen to them. Even while multitasking. And I just feel that it really keeps your finger on the pulse of the industry, being able to listen to the guests that you have and hearing some things that you might never learn from them, or industry initiatives that they've set up, or Lonnie Powell's podcast. I thought that was very good, and learning about all that they've done with the legislation and things that, I mean, we don't all have time to sit down and read things, so to have them read to us, I find invaluable.
Well, I really appreciate the feedback, because our goal really was for you to learn a little bit about the people that come on that are in our industry, and then learn a bit more about the association and our Florida Thoroughbred efforts. So thank you so much for sharing that today. And I can't believe time's flown, so we probably have to have you back soon. Okay. But thanks very much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
The Florida Horse Podcast is presented by the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association.